You turn your Bible this morning to Psalm 23. We've been looking at various psalms throughout the summer, and we've been talking about our relationship with God and God's relationship with us. And as we close out this series, we're going to look at one of the most popular psalms. Now, it's funny because I think about Psalm 23, and maybe many of you will be familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd is how it begins, so that kind of jogs the memory there. But it's one of the most popular songs, but I don't recall really ever hearing anyone preach on it in church. I don't ever hear anyone share or talk about. Usually, we hear this psalm in the context of a funeral. I've read this psalm. It's been requested many times. You know, I looked back. I've probably done close to 40 funerals now, and very often I am asked to read this psalm because it's one of the favorites of the individual who has passed away. And I've been thinking about that. Like, why is this so popular, especially during that time of life? And thinking about our life with God, I am just impressed that we need to be thinking about our life with God over the long term. You know, very often, especially in our culture, we are looking for immediate results. We want things to happen fast, we want them to happen now, and we don't really like waiting, and we get very zeroed in on what's happening in the moment, what's right in front of me. But when you're confronted with, say, like the death of a loved one or something like that, you're not only thinking about what's happening in that moment, but you begin to like reflect on all of life. And one of the reasons that I think this psalm is so popular is that it speaks to an entire like lifetime of experience with God. And like as Steve was talking about this morning, like this is not just about head knowledge of God, but this is about our personal experience with God. And we look through our entire lives and we can see many wonderful times, many mountaintops, but also many valleys, and there are times when we're down. And yet God is an anchor through all of it. God is always with us and present and leading and guiding us. And this psalm speaks of that experience of a lifetime of walking with God and how ultimately God shows himself faithful. So let's read here this morning. Many of you probably have this memorized in something like the King James or something like that. If I ever try to do it from memory, I get it all discombobulated with all the different versions and whatnot. So we're going to read from the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this talks about how God relates to us. There are two different images here as we think about God's love and care and our experience with him. The first is the image of a shepherd. And then the second section, there's an image of God as a host welcoming us to his table. All right, so we want to begin with the first section here, speaking of God as our shepherd. And it just begins simply with a statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And again, with all the scriptures that are familiar with us, like for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I can have a tendency to just like, I know it, I've heard it, and I just kind of rush through it, and I don't think about the depths of what's being spoken about here. And as I've explained before, when we see here the Lord, and we see that word is in all caps, in your Bible version, do you see that's all caps there? The Lord is actually a stand-in for God's personal name. Now, at some point, the Jews decided that God was so holy, and the name of God was so holy, that they weren't even going to speak it out loud anymore. I don't know why they made that decision. I don't really like that they made that decision. But the best that we can kind of get is somewhere close to Yahweh or something of that nature of how to pronounce that. That's my American English Southern version of the Hebrew, whatever that's supposed to be. But it's the word here in the text is not Lord as in Adonai or master, like the one who rules over everything, but it's simply something like Yahweh, which is like a personal name of God. It's how God has chosen to reveal himself personally. Like when Moses was standing before the burning bush and God shows up and he speaks to him and says, go and tell Pharaoh to set my people free. Moses is like, well, who should I say is sending me? Like, what's your name? What should I tell them? And God says, I am that I am, right? Like the self-existent one. And that's the idea behind this. God reveals a personal name that reveals something about himself to Moses. And so all throughout Scripture, people are calling out to God, almost as if we would call out to a friend. Like, hey, Catherine, or hey, Bob, right? Like this is God personally, not like Lord and master of all, but like a person entering into relationship with us. He is not distant. He's not far off. It's not like the God of the deist, right? Who they just thought, you know, there was a God who made the world and then stepped back and watched it all and it was just like a clock and things were just spinning and moving and going, right? But no, our God is personal and he wants to be involved in his creation. And he wants to be involved in your life. And we need to stick with that reminder this morning that God is a personal God. And so we have this psalmist crying out the name of God. He is my shepherd. And we think about the imagery because, you know, we're pretty far removed from this idea of shepherding, at least in our culture, right? Like, I'm not a farmer at all. I know nothing about farming. I know that, you know, there are plants and there are animals, and eventually they end up on my table and it tastes really good, right? Like, we get some things from them. We use their body parts and turn them into leather and all kinds of things, right? For sheep specifically, we make clothing out of their wool. But we can be pretty far removed. And there are different practices of farming all throughout history. You know, we can drive right out here, not far, and see a field full of sheep. But they're fenced in. There's water. There's grass for them to graze. But there's no guy standing out there watching that flock, right? They're just there. They're being taken care of. Somebody shows up and does what needs to do and then leaves, right? Here in this culture, they're not fencing in large areas of land. So if you're going to have a sizable flock of sheep, you need a person or people to go and tend and take care of those sheep. So you've got someone going out, being in the fields with the sheep, being present and watching over them, tending them, making sure they have plenty to eat and drink. And this is the picture of the way that God cares for us, not distant and far off, but present with us, watching over us, and caring for us. And this guy writing the psalm is basically saying, hey, I am in God's care. He says, I lack nothing. This doesn't mean that he has everything in the world that he's ever wanted. The idea is like there's nothing that he needs. He won't go without. All his needs are provided for, and we can trust God to provide for all of our needs. I'm reminded of what Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. He says that we don't need to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. He talks about the birds of the air and the grass of the field being clothed and the birds being fed, and says God takes care of all those things. They don't toil and labor and store up and do that kind of stuff, but God provides for them. And so we can trust God as his children to provide for the things that we need. He says that he knows what we need before we ask, and he is a good father, and he will take care of us. He goes on to describe this in shepherding terms. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And I think about the imagery here. The picture here is one of kind of like ease and provision and rest. Like this idea of makes me lie down. There's a place where I'm just allowed to just be at rest. I'm not searching. I'm not wandering, hoping that I can get what I need. But God places me where I can have what I need, where there's plenty, and I can be relaxed in him. This idea of green pastures is like, you know, if you're a sheep and you like to eat grass, it's just everywhere. You know, you're not going and looking for it. And that there's this peace. He leads me beside quiet waters. I'm able to enter the water and get a drink, and I'm not going to be swept away by the current. And there's just this ease and lack of, like, distress is the idea, that God's got me. And one of the pictures here that I like is, like, in that culture, in that time, like, sheep are led. They're not driven. And what do I mean by that, okay? Well, I had some friends a number of years ago who were farmers, and they helped take care of sheep, and, you know, they had these amazing dogs that would help them herd the sheep. And these dogs would work the flock, and if they needed to move sheep from one field to another, you know, the dogs would go behind the sheep and, like, kind of corral them to where they needed to go. Pretty amazing stuff. In the culture of the time, sheep weren't herded that way. Like, if you've heard the description of, like, Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and my sheep follow me. Like, sheep in that culture learned to follow the voice of the shepherd. And in a sense, like, flocks could be mingled and mixed. And, like, there's a shepherd of a particular flock could come and call a sheep, whatever noise he would use, and those sheep would follow that shepherd. And another shepherd could come and call the sheep, and those sheep would follow that shepherd. And the sheep are being led by the shepherd. They're not being driven or forced. And that's this wonderful picture here, because sometimes when we think of God on the throne and ruling, we can get a wrong picture of God in terms of, like, maybe he's a tyrant. Maybe he's demanding. Maybe he's trying to get stuff out of us, and he's coming along behind us and driving us and pushing us, and he's some kind of cruel taskmaster. But that's not who God is. God is a God who leads us, and we have the opportunity to follow. And if we follow, then we'll be enjoying the many blessings that he offers in terms of this rest and provision. And we have this chance to experience his blessing as he graciously leads and we follow. Verse 3 says, restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. This idea of refresh. See, I did the King James Version again. It's refreshing or restoring my soul. And it's this idea that in life is hard, right? There are difficult times. We become weary. We get ragged. We're worn down. We're just tired sometimes. And God takes us to places where we can be restored. And this whole picture is a picture of renewing our strength, renewing our energy, renewing our vitality. As you know, we have a newborn, and I'm just not getting a lot of sleep lately. Came in Friday to the office to work on a sermon and do a bunch of other stuff for the day. And I was like, God, I ain't got no sleep. I ain't got nothing today. And I prayed. I was like, God, please give me energy for whatever it is I need to do today. And we got through band practice, and we were done. It was like 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock about, I'm heading home. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even feel like I needed a nap today. And I was just trying to think back, like, how did that happen? I didn't drink coffee, didn't have any junk. And I was like, oh yeah, I prayed this morning that God would give me energy. And apparently he did, and I didn't even notice. Like, I made it through the day. And, like, God is able to come and help us in those moments and just restore us and give us the strength that we need for whatever it is that we're facing. It says that he guides us along the right paths for his namesake. Like, God wants to show us where to go. You know, sheep have a reputation for being dumb. Not been around a lot of sheep a few times, I don't know, but sheep have a reputation for like not being very smart animals. And I have a reputation for being dumb as well. Like, I do some dumb stuff. I do some things that are not wise. But God wants to guide us and give us wisdom and show me the right way to go about life, to live in a manner that is pleasing to him. And it's interesting, it says that he does that for his name's sake. Like, it's, God is concerned about his reputation. God is a good God. He wants to show himself as a good God. And so he does things in our lives. He leads us in a way so that he is shown to be true and just and good. He wants us to know him as he is, and he wants us to bear witness to his good name, so he leads us on the right path so then we have the opportunity to do that. The next part talks about hardship in life. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So there's this acknowledgement that it's not all easy, it's not all just ease and comfort all the time. There are times in life where we go through some dark stuff. There are times when we're uncertain about what the future is going to hold. There are times when, like, it's like, I just can't see what's going to happen next. Like, this just seems so dark and so hard and so painful, and there's just trouble, and there's a potential of danger, and I can't see what's next. But the writer here expresses a confidence. Like, even though I'm in those places, I don't have to be afraid. He says, I will fear no evil. And this word evil describes danger or harm. Like, I don't have to worry about being injured. I don't have to worry about whatever it is taking me out. I can trust that God's got this. He says, why? Because God is with me. God's presence is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These were tools of the shepherd. The rod is basically like a club used for defense. The shepherd's job was to protect the sheep. And if there was a wild beast that came to attack the sheep, then the shepherd would not run away, but go after them with the club, right? With the rod. And then a staff then is a stick that the shepherd would use just for support. And he basically, he has these weapons in his hands to protect and guide and lead the sheep through dark, tough times. So we can be comforted and at ease because we know that God is there and that he will ultimately protect us. Again, this doesn't mean that we never experience anything bad, but when we look at the totality of life, God shows himself faithful. And even when we experience hard times, we can look to him and trust him that he is going to rescue and deliver us. So after verse 4, the image shifts. We shift from a shepherd in the field to the host of a party. Anybody like having parties? I enjoy having parties. I got way too many kids to throw birthday parties for now. That's getting kind of crazy. It's like every other month now we're throwing a party. But my wife loves throwing parties. Oh, she's here. Hey. She loves throwing parties. And we always have this ongoing debate for every party because she wants to just go all out. And anything that we have or even don't have, she'll go get to make this party awesome. We have all kinds of, like, contraptions to hold drinks. Every now and then we pull out, we've got a chocolate fountain that we used way back when we got married. Like, she just loves to host and throw parties. I'm always like, how do we make this easy and simple and I can put the least amount of work in and still make it passable? That's my version of a party. So if you ever come to any of our parties, it's all Hannah. I might be there looking like I'm doing a lot, but she made me do it, okay? The picture here is that God is like more like that than like me, right? Like that God is a host who goes all out for his honored guests. It says here that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows, right? So here we have this picture of God hosting a party, and he is preparing a table before us. And notice, interesting, like in the presence of my enemies, what is this about? Again, life is not without hardship. life is not without opposition. If King David wrote this psalm, right, he's king of a nation, and there are many nations who want to see that his nation, the nation of Israel, fail. They want to see him killed. They want to see that nation destroyed. Like, there's actual opposition that this guy is facing. And yet David's like, hey, I can party even though my enemies are all around me because I'm with God. I can have a feast. I can celebrate. I can trust that God is feeding and nourishing me. There's joy and celebration. And I have freedom and security even when people stand against me, even when there are problems. You anoint my head with oil. This is something that we don't do, but it was custom in that time. We even see it in the time of Jesus. Remember when Jesus goes into that party and the host of the party doesn't really greet him. He doesn't put oil on his head. He doesn't wash his feet. But there's a woman there who pours perfume on Jesus, washes his feet with the perfume and is kissing his feet and those types of things. And there's this custom that when someone comes into your house, you provide this care for them, that you'd put oil on their head. And this is the picture, like God is treating us as his honored guest. And that's fascinating to me because, you know, like if I was like, hey, I'm going to have a meeting with God, like I better make it nice. And God's like, no, I'm going to make it nice for you. Like that's how much God loves us, that he is going all out for us. My cup overflows. It speaks to this generosity and abundance, that there is plenty to enjoy when it comes to God looking after us. And finally, he ends with verse 6, and he says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's pointing here to the things of God where he bestows his blessings on us. Things that are pleasant, things that are beautiful, things that are good, God's kindness. Like God's desire is that we experience his goodness and his love. And this love is the word that we see all throughout the Old Testament for just loving faithfulness. That there is a loyal love of God where he is steadfast. He's not fickle like we are sometimes. When things are going good, we're really lovey. And when things go bad, we're like, get away from me. That's not how God is. Like God is faithful to us and he sticks with us and his love endures. It is not temporary. So that kind of love is going to follow me. It's going to accompany me. It's going to go with me because God is with me and I experience that all the time. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a cry, a statement, a declaration of I'm going to live in abiding communion with God. The house of the Lord, the place where he is worshiped, the tabernacle or the temple that would come, the place where God is worshiped, that's where I want to be. I want to be in ongoing fellowship with him. I want to have this connection with him that lasts and doesn't fall away. It's a desire to worship God, to be in a place where we're experiencing his goodness and then we are there offering ourselves in worship back to him. We think about this psalm and what it speaks to in terms of our lives, of God's care for us, how we can trust him to provide and restore and protect, how we can have freedom and safety and comfort even when things aren't going well around us, that ultimately he will show himself faithful and we can experience his goodness and love as we follow him and receive the blessings of his love and care. So, I'm sure as I read this, you've heard this many times, you've read this many times, but I would encourage you today to take some time with the Lord and think through all the ways God has shown up in your life. All the different times he has rescued you or provided for you or healed you or comforted you. What are the many things? And I can think through a long list of just simple things big things, like God throughout my life and years of following him, he has been faithful. And what we want to do in the next few moments is just take some time to thank him. And as we think about what the future holds, I want you to look back to those things that he has already done in your life and just remind yourself that God has always shown up and you can trust him for whatever comes next. So we're just going to spend a few moments in prayer, and then why don't you take time and thank God for those things, and then we'll close out and worship this morning.
God, you're holy, and your mercies are new every morning. And Father, I pray that we could see you for who you truly are, and that we would commit ourselves to you fully, that we wouldn't hold back. We wouldn't have a mere intellectual relationship with you. But God, that we would take the time day by day to enter into fellowship with you and allow you to show us your goodness. God, I pray that we might know you in this way as our shepherd and our host who bestows us with many blessings. God, I pray that we might walk in confidence and peace in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.